But you know, it's always a blessing to be able to come here, and this is kind of like my second church home. Gosh, you guys treat me so nice and so royally, and I just highly respect that, and I don't take it for granted that you have to do those kinds of things, because I recognize people don't have to do anything for you, but it's by God's mercy, by their placing upon their hearts to do things, and I cherish those moments. I cherish those times that we're here. Sometimes I choose scriptures by some of the things that my life has experienced. You know, and I always look at David, and I take an example for him because he has some similar life experiences, or probably more profound than mine. But in the book of Psalms, you can always find peace, solace, comfort, joy, anything that you want according to your life situation. You can perhaps find it in the psalm, because those psalms were written out of conditions of human lives. And so I'm so happy that God allowed those to be canonized in the scriptures, so that we can have something that we can also draw upon to be able to help ourselves and perhaps help somebody else. And that's the way I go about things. I don't try to preach like everybody else. I preach the way that God gave me. And so I just do that. The scripture have already been read. Let us bow. Gracious God, we are just so privileged, God, to be able to stand here in your presence and among these families of God, Almighty God, and these saints of God that saw fit to allow me to come again and to stand in this place. And for Pastor Miles, as he away, I ask you to continue to bless him as he journeys on in his life, and that he might enjoy where he is. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. As we think about our thought for today, this psalm was written in the life and the time of David. Yet it is messianic in nature, in that it is point to Christ. David asked if he were looking through a glass darkly. This psalm comes on the heel of Psalm 39. As he was wrestling with some silent enemies that plagues his very soul, there seemed to have been some secondary emotions going on and causing discomfort on the inside of him. If you go back and read the last few verses, we'll get that soon also. If it's only a day problem, then I believe that he could have found some contentment. But sometimes situations are not just a day problem. They also are inclusive. They can be a day and a night problems that you struggle with. Praying for peace of mind, but finding, when he looked around, we see and hear that which troubles our spirits also. But little or nothing we can do about many things. Many of us already have reached a certain age that's not too much that we can do. But I'm glad that we got a young lady here. Got future and all that. Amen. But sometimes this is the way that life deals with us. That's it. I was just trying to put a face on this. But then David said also, I will wait patiently. That is something that we haven't really got the handle on just yet. We still sometimes struggle with being patient and waiting on a God who we cannot see. Have you been there? Amen. But when David came to the end of himself, he said, I will wait patiently for the Lord. That was his resolve. He found he did not have the answer to his dilemma. Says of God, let me pause and ask the question. Have you ever come to a crossroad in your life caused you not to have an answer, not knowing which way to go? I have. But maybe somebody here who have not been, I'm going to say, that fortunate to have to go through things. Because I should say that sometimes we think that a lot of positive things come out of positive things. But I'm under the conjecture that you can glean from the negative side of situation. Because if we have lived so long, we have had more negative side of situation than we got in front of us. Causing you not to have an answer, but knowing that which way we go. Though David had resources and wealth at his disposal, that he could control most condition around him, he couldn't control that inward turbulence. Saints of God, it is one thing to have trouble on the outside. It's another to have trouble on the inside. The trouble speaks of that doctors or medicine cannot cure because they're internal. I've been there. I know about those things. And I'm sure there are many who had not been there too. As it was with David, so it is can be with us sometime. What I like about David, he learned to wait with prayer. That sometimes is a hard thing for us to do, is to wait with prayer. How can I know this? Look back at verses 12 and 13 of chapter 39. That he said, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give it unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with you and a sojourner all my father were. Listen to verse 13, he said, oh, spare me that I may recover strength. Let me look back at another man. I'm sure you're familiar with this man by the name of Job. And Job had inward turmoil, outside turmoil. But he did not lose his faith, nor his hope, after losing all that he had. He made this declaration of faith. All the days of my life, I'm going to wait till my change comes. That's David. Job. Saints of God, we are going to have to set our focus above our circumstances. Sometimes our focus become kind of dim. God did not design us to be able to see the future and see the outcome of the future or see the outcome of our next moment. He not designed us to do that. Excuse me. But he did design us that we could walk by faith. And that's all that we basically have is to have faith and to trust God. that he's going to work everything out all right. We can put our confidence in that. David also went on to say, in our next outline, I'm fulfilling, let's see. He said that I will lift up my eyes unto the hill from where my help come from. My help come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Listen to the powerful faith that David had in the God that brought him through many circumstances. You know the history of David. You know, I was thinking about that. Sometimes we are designed to stand in the valleys and look up to the mountains. And then God sometimes places on top of the mountains to bring us where we can look down at where we had come from. He raises us up to another height and another level. Isn't God amazing? I will lift, in what David said, I'm just going to always keep my focus heavenward towards the throne room where God resides. If we could just begin to come a people of that kind of motivation. Sometimes we sell ourselves short and shortchange ourselves when God has a whole heaven. So I'll look under here for where my help come. And then he said, my help come from. He didn't say it came from Absalom or anybody like that. He said, my help come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I pray that we can begin to, as a body of believers, we're not here, but wherever maybe, that if we can begin to glean that and begin to practice that kind of situation. I believe that many of our cares would dissipate. What do you think about that? We look at the B part of that verse in verse 1. Talk about the working power, the working power of prayer. David has said, I prayed and I waited. I prayed and I waited. Sometimes we just want to pray a microwave prayer and expect to get quick results. God never works on our behalf the way that we want him to work, because he's God. May I say this? The church know I'm a cancer survivor. I prayed some prayers that I didn't know I had the vocabulary to pray them. Some dark days, some dark nights. Had to press my way through some things. Couldn't see the future of what outcome going to be. But I trust in the unchanging God, who's able to exceed me abundant all we can ask, say, or do. He inclined on me and heard my cry. Says of God, when the Christian body gets serious with God, he will get serious with us. Our problems, according to Psalm 114 and 4, said that these problems, these minute problems that we think are big problems, will skip like rams, and that heals like little lambs. Just kind of let that kind of resonate in your brain. For a minute. that he said, these, said, this stationary mountain, this stationary hill, which have been here for eternity, will get out of the way and make your pathway straight and bring you to some resolutions. He said he will incline unto us and hear our prayers. In other words, as so to speak, God will bend forward to hear our feeble cry. Somebody say he'll bend over the balcony of heaven just so we can hear our whispering prayers. You know, I don't care how loud we might pray. They are just a whisper in God's hearing. I don't care how eloquent we can pray, how powerful, impactful our prayers could be. And sometimes today you can just feel something just shaking around you. I don't care about it, but when God decides to just be in his ear, because he knows all our prayers are just a whisper. Just a whisper. Yes. And it shall come to pass that while you're yet calling, listen, while you're yet calling, I will hear all our prayers. I said, well, that but whispers in the ears of God. But he lets us know how important those principal prayers are, that he will bend, I said, forward, down to here, to earth, bend his ear down, to hear our feeble cries. As the common said, God is an on-time God. On-time God. Somebody say he may not come when you want him, but he's always ready to give an answer to our problem, our situation. Because we live now in critical times. You cannot even begin to live next door to your neighbor because you don't really know your neighbor. Sometimes they might snap. But you gotta keep on pressing. You cannot go into hiding. You got to keep on pressing on and trusting God that God will make a way. Over here, let me encourage us. While we are praying and waiting for our God, we must mix faith with works. James 2:17. This is what James is saying. Show me your faith by your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I ponder that. In other words, James said that, yes, you have faith, and yes, I have given you faith as a part of your Christian behavior, a lifestyle. But if you don't do some maneuvering and exercises, your faith is not worth a hill of a bean. You realize that? I often tell people sometimes, people always tell me, said, you don't have much faith. I said, oh, it's all right. It's all right. But I know that if I don't get outside and do something, when I was trying to work, had a job, I had to get up sometime, get up and go find the job, meet the person at the job. I tell people, faith can starve you to death. You can rock from the front door to the back door. You understand that? May not have heard it that way. You were talking about if you need to lose weight, just rely on faith. You'll be pounds lighter within a week. I'm just helping us, you know, just not criticizing anybody, but I'm just saying that sometimes we get this thing all mixed up. I'm just waiting on faith. I don't just wait on faith. I don't just wait on faith. I know the God of faith. Sometime you gotta pray and pray and pray and pray and pray until you get a breakthrough. David's proclamation, verse 2. Listen with me to David when he prayed, when his prayers worked. How do you know when your prayers work? Do you have some evidence that your prayers work or that our prayers work? How do we know that our prayers work? They work when things become crystal clear that God have gotten an answer from God, and he will let you know. That's a peace and a tranquility that will come over you. Let you know. I've heard your prayers. I've bent down my ears, and now I'm going to answer your prayers. That's my take on it. That is when he received his breakthrough. After his intense toil, the Lord, brought me up out of a horrible pit. You know, I was studying that and trying to figure out how I could put it in the right language. I said this 40th chapter of Psalms, it's messianic in nature. David was trying to look to the future, look to the end times, and trying to figure out. And that just kept churning him on the inside. Why is it that I cannot? It was kind of like Daniel in the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and standing at the book of Chiba. But it's amazing that God, even the Old Testament, gave prophets an old messianic views to see some things in the future. That's amazing. I'm amazed sometimes at how God shows things. See, he brought me out of a hard pit, out of miry clay. And set me, my feet up on a rock. Let me say this. Like David, these things in our lives, we're seeing that we cannot break free of. It is as the man that was at the pool of Bethesda, waiting on the troubling of the water. Troubling of the water. But Jesus came by and said, would you like to be made whole? The first thing he said, I have nobody to put me into the pool. Everybody had walked by and saw that man for many years. What I want to say to the man at the pool of Bethesda, help is on the way. Sometimes me that cannot see the help. But help us on the way. Just hold fast. Just hold fast. Hold fast to how you live. Hold fast to your creator. Hold fast to God's unchanging hand. And he will work it out. May not be when you want it worked out, but it will work out. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Saints of God, First Baptist, you've been waiting a long time. Keep on waiting. Keep on holding on. Keep on striving. Keep on praying. God did not bring you this far to leave you. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When we do, we can walk in the newness of life. Fresh fields. Fresh grass. Beautiful mountains. Hills laced with flowers. Flowers in the valley all around you. When you can begin to see the beauty of what your life have done, what your life mean, then you can begin to see the beauty. See, you see beauty. You will not see chaos. You see beauty. And being able to live according to God's grace and God's mercy. The C part of, the B part of verse 2, which is C part of, the mobilizing power of God. David said, not only did his God bring him out of his circumstances, but he conveyed him on his way, as if he took him by the hand and just mobilized and moved him. Sometime we're going to have to be moved by the power of God. Sometime. And sometime God just allows just to move. But I can see David. Almost as a, have you ever seen a father or mother got a little baby just begin to try to walk? Crossing the street, what she does? She reaches down and gets his hand and takes him across the street and loses his hand there. I'll keep on holding on. I can see David in that kind of way because he was not able to help himself personally. Oh my God. But I know sometimes life throws us a curve in life, causing us to have to deal with life circumstances that seem to be no way out. I know a deliverer. And we can say of David's life, pressed down upon him. Sometimes life's going to press down upon us. And sometimes we cannot get off and on the press until God unravels the press. And is this what he says in verse 3? Apart. God has put a new song in my mouth. Even praises unto God. I must confess to you, I don't know what the song is. I went through all of the hymns of the Psalms. I could not find the proper song. But I believe that when you turn over to the 150th number song, I believe that you'll find this messianic song. David, the new song. He gave it to David. And the 150th numbers of song. I believe that. I must confess. But I know a song of praise. In my readiness to close. I mentioned that this song is futuristic in nature. As I said, I searched script for a new song, but could find none. But I believe David had a song. And it goes like this, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp.
Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instrument and organ. Praise him with the loud sounding cymbal. Praise him with the high sounding cymbal. Then he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Oh, I believe that David found the song. He didn't know what he found. Sometimes God got to put a new song in your heart. A song of joy. A song of peace. A song of contentment. While all the world is falling away around you, chaos. But I know a God that is able to put a song in my heart. I believe he could do it for you too. Put a song. And then be part of that verse. Many shall see and fear and shall trust in the Lord. As many though by his seed, this place of mercy, and by his grace, shall find favor and grace in the sight of God, who gives us and those who desire to put their trust in our unchanging God. Yes, there are those who may fear, but those who will put their trust in God have no need to fear, because their eternal destiny has been sealed. But there may be somebody, I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your salvation. I've been coming for years. There may be some that have, may not even have ever accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. God has opened a door and made a way on Calvary's cross. There he hung, bled and died for the remission of mankind's sin. Then he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from this old world's labor and find smooth sailing into eternity, where there will be peace in the valley. There will be joy. There will be peace, love, happiness. No more sorrows. No more grief. No more pain. I wish I had words to express. But vocabulary failed me to be able to give you the essence of all that. But I'm asking you to trust God. When you come down to your muck in the mire, just know that God is able to bring you out of the mire clay and set your feet upon solid ground, that you will not have a mind, a heart, or spirit to return. God bless you. God, we thank you for this day and for this time. For allowing me, O God, to stand here before your people and just express the words that you've given unto me. For their, for our good, not for theirs only, for our good. We give you glory, give you honor, and we give you praises. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Thank you.